in this kingdom, the treasures of the kingdom are accessible by the key of knowledge.
Vision is a necessity for human survival. You are a deliberate creature of a God in heaven, and you were sent from the realm of eternity into the earth realm in order to fulfill a divine purpose. You are here on a mission.
Jesus died, resurrected to restore us back to the glory realm. Christianity is a call unto the glory life. Christianity is a call unto a life of glory and dominion. You have to be transformed into that version of you that is needed to fulfill your destiny. Through the process of spiritual metamorphosis, mental metamorphosis, the assignment is at the mercy of your personal growth and transformation. His presence is here in our midst. Mande bora sabala kida brande kepo sabala kidas. Come on, go ahead, adore him, worship him in the beauty of his holiness. Come on, adore him, express your love towards him. Kilo boko setila bagadia. Unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Libora sabala kida brande kepos. We have come to seek his face. We have come to encounter him in his word and by the power of the Holy Ghost. Come on, go ahead. We have not just come for a religious gathering. This is not a religious meeting. This is not a religious routine and duty. No, we came for an encounter with him. We came for an encounter. We came to encounter him, the Lord of the harvest, to make us effective witnesses, effective kingdom laborers, so that we can go out there and usher in the harvest. Libora balakidas, mandrobokosida kapatai, leviropose pregedia. Father, help us to know you more. Manda palatose prende kepo. We give you the praise, we give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for your majestic presence. Thank you for your glory in this place. Enlighten our hearts and mind. Let the eyes of our understanding be flooded with light. Grant us illumination, revelation, understanding. Help us to encounter you in your word. Help us to encounter you by the person of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Take us from glory to glory, from grace to grace. Transport us to new realms, new dimensions, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Welcome to day what? Day 11, day 12, my God, day 12 of our mid-year mega harvest fasting and prayer. Like joke, it's almost over. Praise God. Hallelujah. We have barely 2 days to go. Tomorrow and next, treat this last 2 days, treat it with utmost seriousness and sense of purpose. Praise God. Be very intentional. We started a powerful teaching series, Encounters with the Lord of the Harvest. Today will be part 4, right? Is it part 4 or 3? Part 4. Encounters with the Lord of the Harvest, part 4. Wow, this series is blessing me. I don't know about you. Seriously, opening my eyes to so many things. Encounters with the Lord of the Harvest, part what? 4. Glory to God. Daniel 11:32b. Praise God. We said we define an encounter. You still remember that definition? What is an encounter? An encounter is a striking supernatural experience or event that crystallizes and concretizes convictions concerning the reality of something or someone. Praise God. Generally, never forget this, generally, as a rule, all divine encounters of the God kind, all divine encounters of the God kind come from the Holy Spirit and are all based on the Word of God. Never forget this statement. All divine encounters of the God kind, they come from who? The Holy Spirit. And they are all what? Based on what? The Word of God. Very important. All of them without exception. They are based on the Word of God. They are all in line with the Word of God. They are in consonance, in agreement with God's Word. They never contradict the written Word of God. They are always in harmony. And they all come from the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. And then also note that all divine encounters of the God kind can be spectacular or non-spectacular, but they are all supernatural. Or let's put it this way, all divine encounters of the God kind are supernatural in nature. They are all supernatural manifestations. Whether they are spectacular or not, they are all supernatural. Some are not spectacular, but they are supernatural. Some are spectacular, and they are still supernatural. So whether they are spectacular or not, they are all what? Supernatural experiences, occurrences, or events. Powered by the Holy Ghost, based on the Word of God. Praise God. Daniel 11:32b. He says, for the people, the B part, but the people that do know their God. And I said that word know is the Hebrew word yada. It talks of deep acquaintance. It talks of intimacy, intimate knowledge. Am I communicating? Literally, it means intercourse. It's the same word in Genesis 4 verse 1 when the Bible says, and Adam knew his wife. The word knew is yada. So in that context, talking of sexual intercourse, and then his wife got pregnant. They are usually evidence. If you are intimate with God, there is usually a conception that takes place following intimacy and intercourse with God. And you know, pregnancy cannot hide. It's just a matter of time, it will show, and it will give birth to something. So all divine encounters, they produce supernatural results. Am I communicating? They are usually supernatural evidences to show if you are truly intimate with God. It will show in your life. If you are truly intimate with God, you have intercourse with Him. Am I communicating? You fellowship with Him. Over time, it will produce clear results, supernatural results. Just like when a man is intimate with his wife, sexual intercourse happens. It results in a baby over time. There are children to prove that intimacy. It's the same thing. If you are intimate with God, intimate with His Word, intimate with the person of the Holy Spirit, it's a matter of time. There must be outward, visible evidence, supernatural evidence to show in your life. If there are no evidence to show, that means you are not intimate with God. You are still playing religion. Am I communicating? And you know, religion presents to people a God that is abstract.
in theory. It presents a God that is abstract. A God that is an abstract theoretical concept. That's what religion does. But what you need is not religion. You need reality. You need to know God, not just about God. See, when people tell you about God, you may have some doubts. Are you listening? It doesn't matter whether it was on pulpit, you heard it in Sunday school, or you read it in book. If all you know is about God, there will be some element of doubt. But when you come to know this God for yourself, you see, the thing with divine encounters is that they are personal. Are you listening? They are personal. And they create conviction. Strong conviction. Through divine encounters, you come to know God and you have strong conviction about the reality of His person. You are not in doubt. You've gone beyond what you were told. You've gone beyond what you know about Him to what? Knowing Him in reality. Am I communicating? You become fully persuaded. Your conviction is strong, rock solid. Am I communicating? One of the reasons why, one of the explanations behind our weak conviction about God is because we have not come to know Him in reality through encounters. Because encounters furnishes conviction. When you've not come to encounter God, you've not come to encounter Him in His word, you've not encountered Him through the person of the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, your Christian faith will be weak. And you will easily compromise. Your Christian life will be a struggle. Why do we have believers, even pastors, that go to the Western world, UK, US, and then they abandon the faith? And some even turn into atheists. It's because they've not come to know God through encounters, personal encounters. So no conviction. When somebody comes and argue with them, they start doubting everything they've known about Him. Because all they know is about Him. They don't know Him. This scripture said, the people that do know their God. When you come to know God intimately, by true encounters in His word and encounters with the Holy Ghost, nobody can talk you out of it. Why? Because your conviction is strong. Am I communicating? Encounters will erase every doubt. It will eradicate doubt, eradicate fear. Am I communicating? You become bold and fearless about your faith. Malekobolataya. Okay. It's just like, just imagine. Who do I use now? Okay, let me not use anybody in particular. Okay, let me use somebody. Imagine if somebody come and tell Pastor Marfen that you are a woman. In fact, you are 2 months pregnant. Pastor Marfen, if somebody come and tell you that you are a woman and you are 2 months pregnant, will you even bother arguing with the person? And then the person is trying to even prove their point. That, you know, when a woman is 1-2 months pregnant, 3 months, say, first trimester, the thing does not even show. So it's possible that you are a woman. And then the person is now giving more points to prove their argument. Will you even bother wasting your time arguing back or trying to prove to the person, except you don't know that you are a man? It's the same thing. When you know this God, all this debate up and down, argument up and down, you know, this is a generation in which there is so much knowledge. People take pride in knowledge. All manner, Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic, Latin, Septuagint, all manner of things. Even Dead Sea Scroll, they are excavating it to argue, to debate and argue doctrines.
about God. But how many of them know God in reality? How many of them have strong conviction? Am I communicating? At you see, Christians compromise easily because they don't know their God. All they have known is about their God, the one they were told. Why is it that you will see believers, young ladies, young guys, the parents have been praying, they have been praying for admission into university and tertiary institution, and then they finally get admission. Church girl will come to campus and turn into a prostitute. Church boy will come to campus and become a cult member, even capon in a cult. Abandon everything what the parents have taught him about God. All the morning devotion they've been having, all the church he has been attending, all the church he has been attending, all. Phew, she has abandoned it. He has abandoned them. Why? Because he or she, all they have known is about God. They've not known God on a personal level, in a personal way. They've not come to encounter him. So their conviction is not strong. Are you listening? God is not yet real to them. No concrete conviction. No personal revelation. That's why when they come to campus, their friends can easily influence them. Oh, let's go to party. Let's go to nightclub. Hey, there is one allergy. They are sharing 250,000, 500,000. And then that's how they become professional prostitutes. Sleeping around. Meanwhile, this is somebody that came from a Christian home. You wonder what happened. It's very simple. They only knew about God. They did not know him. If you know God, you will not live in sin. You will shun and reject sin. I'm telling you. Look at what Joseph said. When Potiphar's wife, Mrs. Potiphar, offered herself to him on a platter of gold, he said, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? Because God is real to him. To him, God is not one big Santa Claus in the sky. To him, God was real. He had strong conviction. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that believes, he that cometh to God, must believe that he is. He knew God was real. And he had experienced him in a personal and intimate way. He said, how can I do this wickedness against God? How can I commit this sin against God and against my master, who has been nothing but good to me? He has not withheld anything from me except you. How can I do this? He ran away. Are you listening? You see, the reason why Christians compromise and sin and mess up is because their conviction about God is not strong. God is not yet real to them. Are you listening? How can somebody wake up from the bed of fornication, adultery, carry Bible and be going to church on Sunday with the same person they fornicated with, fornication partner, and two of them are seated together in church? And then they will now leave service, they will go back for round two when they get home. They are still playing religion. God is not yet real to them. That's the truth. You see, Christians bribe, they cheat, they lie, all manner of things. Why? They don't know their God yet. They only know about him. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong, and they shall do what? Explode. When Isaiah encountered God, he has been a preacher. Listen, you can be a preacher. You can even be known. Thank God technology has made media now today. Somebody can become popular in no time. But it's not a sign of divine validation. Are you listening? No. See, let's stop confusing media popularity with divine validation and backing. Somebody can be popular all across the world and yet God does not know him. Isaiah was a national prophet. From Isaiah chapter 1, go and study it, to Isaiah chapter 5, he was already giving national prophecy. Phone number, address, color of pant, all of that. Don't mind me, na me had that one. You understand? He was already prophesying evil, woe unto you, different this thing. But he did not know God, though. He only knew about God until Isaiah chapter 6. He said, in the year King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He had a divine encounter. It was a spectacular one. And he said, high and lifted up. He said, his train filled the temple. And then the seraphims, they were worshiping God. And the door of the post moved at their worship. And he said, an angel flew and carried live coal from the altar and touched his tongue. Before then, he said, woe is me. When he encountered God, he cursed himself. Can you imagine? He cursed himself. He said, woe is me. I am undone. I have undone a man of unclean lips. You can't encounter the thrice holy God and be living in sin. Impossible. All your appetite for sin will die. I'm telling you the truth. You will hate it with passion. Malakute ke barakata. Are you listening? Oh, he says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean. My eyes have seen the King. You know, Job said, Job 42 verse 5, we read it yesterday, we've been reading it. He says, I am heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. You may argue and debate over what you heard, but you cannot argue what your eyes saw. Am I communicating? You may argue over what you heard, but you cannot deny or argue over what you saw. Encounters. Are you listening? Manta kedo burakata. For the people that do know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploit. Why are many Christians not doing exploit? What are exploits? Exploits are supernatural accomplishments, supernatural results, supernatural feat, attention commanding supernatural accomplishment. The type that catches the eye of others, it catches human attention. Why are Christians not doing exploits? Because they don't know their God yet. Therefore, their conviction and their faith about it, their faith in him, their conviction concerning his reality is weak, is not strong. Because it is when you know him by encounters, when you encounter him, your conviction becomes strong and then your faith becomes very strong. No longer weak faith, and then you can now do exploits. Because exploit is a function of strength. Exploit is a function of strength, supernatural strength, accessible through divine encounters. Are you listening? Palateke bura balakataya. How many Christians can still hold on to their faith at gunpoint? Just imagine, armed robbers. Hey! Say, renounce Jesus or I shoot you. And the believer knows that there is bullet in that gun. And he knows that the armed robber is not joking. He's not a comedian. He means real business. How many Christians will not renounce Christ? How many? The answer to that has to do with what I'm teaching. Those whose conviction and faith is still weak because they don't know their God, they only know about him, there is a high 99.999% chance that they will renounce Jesus. So who Jesus help?
they will renounce him.
The person may even be usher in church.
How many Christians have renounced Christ and embraced Islam because of money or connection or position or whatever? Or even marriage, especially the woman. Marriage. They don't know that Islam is using that as a strategy for evangelism. They don't know. One of their strategy, they tell their men, marry the Christian ladies. They are stupid, foolish people. Marry their ladies. They are fools. They are desperate to marry. Marry their ladies. And give birth to children. It's a strategy for evangelism for them into Islam. Many Christians don't know that. But you will never see their Christian lady marry their Muslim lady marry a Christian man. Never. You will be dead. Your head is gone. The ladies know. They don't even shake Christians. I had Muslims in my class, medical school. I had Muslim ladies. They don't shake me. There was a day I didn't know. I was bringing hand to shake one of them. She was just laughing. For where? This is how she did her hand. They don't shake Christian guys. That was the day I knew. Oh, they don't shake. Not even handshake. And then you hear Christian ladies say, oh, Pastor, I love him. He's a good man. He's very nice. He's very nice. Pastor, don't worry. I'll convert him. Ah. When did you become Holy Spirit? Don't go into marriage with a vision to convert anybody, with a project of converting your spouse. Even you, Holy Ghost has been trying to change your life. How many years now? Now you say you won't go change somebody else. Well done, assistant Holy Spirit. Praise God. We compromise because we don't know this God. You see Christian doing expo in class, Bible study coordinator in fellowship, FCS, NIFES, Scripture Union, SU. Expo. I must not fail this course. I must not fail this God. I even heard one testimony that was trending. Somebody, praise the Lord, brethren, I want to thank God how God used somebody to help me write WAEC, and the result came out and I passed the WAEC very well. Praise the Lord. Somebody help you, they should arrest you. The people that do know not about, that do know their God, not about their God. You can doubt that one. See, when the problems of life, the pressure, the storm come, you will start doubting some of the things you have heard. The only thing you cannot doubt is what you know personally through encounters. Am I communicating? That one builds your conviction strong. Am I communicating? So that you don't japa and go abroad and then turn into something else. Some even become atheists because they don't know their God. All they had was religion, what they were told. Now when somebody come, argument start. And you know the Western world, they are very good with that too. You can have an atheist professor. He will just use theory, information here, information there, knowledge here, knowledge there, and confuse your head that God does not exist. So at that point, all the things you've known about God, it will now be in question. You start questioning it. The only thing that can save you is the God that you know. Through encounters, the one you know, you have you've come to have personal revelation of him, so that nobody can talk you out of it. Your conviction is strong and rock solid.
Your faith in him is strong. Even if all the Christians of the world decide to backslide and change their mind, it doesn't move you. Are you listening? This is very important. The people that do know their God. And then we said, there are two kinds of divine encounters. What was the first one? Encounters in the word. Word encounter simply means encounters in the word. Give me 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. We looked at this extensively in the part 2 and part 3. Very important. But we all with open face, beholding or mirroring. The Greek word beholding is the word katoptrizomai. It means to mirror something, okay? So you can put it this way. We are mirroring in as in a glass. That glass there is mirror. And James 1:25 shows us the mirror of God is the word of God. Am I communicating? It says we all beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed or metamorphosed, transformed, transfigured into the same image. So the glory of God is an image, icon, from glory to glory. That's to show you that the revelation of God's glory is multidimensional. God reveals himself to us dimensionally and progressively. Are you getting it? That's why I say from glory to glory. That you keep seeing new dimensions of his glory. And throughout all eternity, you keep seeing new dimensions. You can never exhaust knowledge of God. Am I communicating? It's progressive and multidimensional. He says, we are changing to the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Remember, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And what is truth? Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So it's the Spirit of the word, is the author of the word. Are you listening? You can't even understand the word without the author. The help of the author, the Holy Spirit. He gives you understanding. He opens your understanding. He gives you wisdom and revelation. He's the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. He grants you insight into mysteries and secrets. Are you getting this? We said encounters in the Word of God is the mother of all encounters. Encounters in the... Why is it the mother of all encounters? Because all other encounters are judged based on the word of God. That's divine encounters. They are judged based on the word. They must line up with the word. Are you listening? And we said Jesus prefers to reveal himself to us, to appear to us through his word. Am I communicating? So encounters in the word is a primary way God reveals himself to us, is a primary way, and is a preferred way that Jesus Christ appears to us. Are you listening? Glory to God. We saw that. You remember Jesus conversing with those two disciples on the way to Emmaus? They were talking about Jesus, and then it was made known to them when they broke bread, and then Jesus vanished out of their sight when their eyes were open and they recognized him. But look at the interesting part. Jesus appeared to them. Yeah, Jesus pointed them to the word. He said, beginning from Moses, he expounded all the things concerning himself. That's to tell you that remember, Jesus is the word made flesh, okay? He was the word, he's the living logos, okay? The preferred way that Jesus Christ appears to us is through encounters in his word. Are you getting the point? Now let's move on. Today we'll look at spectacular encounters. Praise God. Spectacular encounters. These are the two types of encounters of the God kind. Now the first one is what? Word encounters. Now both are supernatural. Both the encounters in the word and spectacular encounters are all supernatural. But word encounters don't appear spectacular. But the fact that they are not spectacular does not mean world encounters are not supernatural. Are you getting the point? So, spectacular encounters refers to those supernatural encounters of the God kind that are very dramatic and striking in nature. They are very dramatic and striking in nature. They can be in form of visions, visionary encounters. They can be in form of trances, in form of dreams, prophetic dreams. They can be in form of angelic encounters. All of them, they are all powered by the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Also, Jesus appearing to you physically is also under spectacular encounters. Can you remember the story of Saul of Tarsus? Acts chapter 9 verse 3. Okay, Acts chapter 9. Is it verse 3? Acts chapter... Okay, let's do small reading. Give me Acts chapter 9 verse 3. It says, as we journey, this is a story of who? Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, it was through a spectacular divine encounter that Saul of Tarsus became Apostle Paul. Am I communicating? Saul became Paul. It was through spectacular encounter that Jacob became Israel, right? It was through spectacular encounter Simon became Peter. Praise God. I say praise God. Simon became Peter at the frequency of spectacular divine encounters. Let's start with Saul. Praise God. Now watch this. Saul was a religious zealot persecuting the church. He was a Pharisee and he thought he was doing God service. He didn't know he was doing religion and persecuting the church. As he journeyed, he had received letters and commission from the chief, the scribes and the chief priest to go and arrest all that belong to the way, that's believers, okay, and then jail them, put them in prison and persecute them. He made havoc of the church. When Stephen, the first martyr, was being stoned, the people kept their clothes at the feet of Saul, and Saul was consenting to his death. Am I communicating? He was a religious man. He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. This is a spectacular divine encounter. Am I communicating? Next verse. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Jesus is a master communicator. Next verse. He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Next verse. And he, trembling as stone, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? My God. At the frequency of a spectacular divine encounter with Jesus on the way to Damascus, that religious zealot called Saul became humble. He even said, Lord, what will you have me do? There is no hard sinner. There is no sinner that is too hard for God to bend. All they need is just one encounter. Are you listening? He said, Lord, what will you have me do? He said, arise, go into the city. You shall be told thee what thou must do. Next verse. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. You see, all of them, they heard something they didn't see. Saul saw Jesus in an open vision. Next verse. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. They led him by the hand, brought him into Damascus. Next verse. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink. So he was fasting, dry fasting. Next verse. 10. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Bible scholars said Ananias is a bishop of the church in Damascus. He said to him, Lord, in a vision. And he said, behold, here am I, Lord. Next verse. You see, this is another spectacular divine encounter that Ananias had. Okay? He had a visionary encounter with Jesus. And Jesus spoke to him in that vision. And Jesus then said, there was a certain... Okay, next verse. Move on. Verse 11. Jesus said, the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. So Jesus gave him instruction to go to Saul. And I've seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming. That's another spectacular encounter Saul had. Remember, he's fasting. So as he was praying and fasting, he saw another vision apart from the first vision, open vision of Jesus on his way to Damascus, that he saw light run about him and all of that. His soul of Tarsus is having another spectacular encounter. He had seen Ananias come in a vision, okay? And Jesus had appeared to Ananias too, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Next verse. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to the saint at Jerusalem. He was a terrorist. He was a religious terrorist. Next verse. He was like Boko Haram. Hope you know, Saul of Tarsus was like Boko Haram today, what they are doing. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon thy name. Next verse. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a choosing vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. Glory to God. You see how through this dramatic encounter Saul of Tarsus had on the road to Damascus with Jesus, that religious zealot and terrorist became a mighty apostle. Saul became Paul. Am I communicating? Very powerful. There was a change of name following that encounter. And name represents identity and destiny. Your name represents your identity and your destiny. That's why it's so important you bear the right name. Am I communicating? So, you see how his name changed. Look at another spectacular encounter that radically changed the name and the prophetic destiny of Jacob. Genesis 32:24. The Bible says, and when Jacob was left alone, he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. And then when the angel of the Lord saw that this guy was determined not to let him go, he dislocated his hip joint. Am I communicating? Which is the strongest joint in the body that controls stability of the whole body. This hip joint, is the number one, in fact, the strongest, the largest joint in your body that controls stability of a human person. So, it destabilizes the joint so that this guy will be unstable, so that he will let him go, yet he will still not let him go. Then he said, what is your name? He said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Then he said, what is your name? What is your identity? He said, Jacob. And what's the meaning of Jacob? Trickster, cunning person, supplanter. In our today's language, what do you call it? Yahoo. Yahoo plugs. Yahoo Pro Max, anyone. Praise God. He was bearing the wrong name. Then the angel of the Lord said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob but Israel. For as a prince, look at the meaning of Israel. For as a prince, as thou power with God and power with men, and has prevailed. He had an encounter in his prayers, because that wrestling is not physical WrestleMania. Prophet Hosea showed us that, is it Hosea 12, I think 3 and 4, he shows us that he offered prayer and supplication. That's the meaning of that wrestling. Am I communicating? It was serious prayer and supplication. In the place of prayer, he encountered the angel of the Lord. Remember, when Jesus was praying in Luke 22, the Bible said there appeared an angel strengthening him. That was a spectacular encounter with an angel. Are you getting me? Kaleboko sovrahati la barakata. Embreketoze vila buraka pakatia. Elabatoza branda kapalatia. Go back. Genesis. I want you to see how his name, his identity, his destiny changed at the instance of a supernatural, spectacular encounter with the angel of the Lord. Am I communicating? Now give me 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 4. 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 4. Look at what Apostle Paul said. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Okay, so you see, visions, whether open, do you know the different kinds of vision? There is open vision, there is transits, there is how do I put it now, there is seeing by faith, there is mental vision, then there is dreams. They are all forms of vision. A dream, as in a dream from God, is a vision of the night. Are you listening? It's a vision of the night. These are all different kinds of vision. In an open vision, listen. In an open vision, your physical eyes are open. You are fully awake. And then you have encounters. Maybe an angel appears to you, or Jesus appears to you. Your spiritual eyes are open while all your senses are alive. You are awake, you are not sleeping. Even your physical eyes is open, and then the Holy Ghost opens your spiritual eyes and you begin to see into the realm of the spirit. That one is an open vision. Then a trance is a dreamlike state. Here you are half asleep, half awake. Have you been there? Half asleep. You are You know what? You are aware of the environment. You want to sleep, but you have not slept. You still know people are talking. You know what is happening. You are half asleep, half awake, and then you have a vision from the Lord. That is a trance. In Acts chapter 10, you remember the trance Peter had, okay? When he went up to pray, he was awaiting for dinner. Sorry, breakfast. The Jews eat breakfast by 12. He was waiting for breakfast too, and he said, let him go and pray. He was hungry. He was not fasting. And then he fell into a trance. He saw that four sheet like that coming down from heaven with all manner of four-footed beasts. All those things in the law, those animal, pig, this one, that one, in the law of Moses, including dog. I believe there was dog there. According to the law of Moses, these are unclean animals. You don't eat them. If it were in the Old Testament, all plateau people will go to hell. Oh, you eat dog. Akwa Ibom too will go to hell. I hear it's in 30. How many states now? Praise God. Thank God for Jesus. We are not under the law. These are animals forbidden by the law for you to eat. It's only an animal that chew the cud that you are supposed to eat. That ruminant animal, if they don't chew the cud, and those that pat the hoof. Oh, let's not enter there. Go and read Leviticus. Now listen,
Peter saw that vision, and then the Lord said, arise, kill and eat. He said, ah, I cannot eat what is unclean. He argued with the Lord. Because law was in his head. He didn't know the regime has changed. Praise God. God has not changed, but the regime has changed. The thing happened how many times? 3 times. And I went up. God, the third time, God said, what God have cleansed, don't call it unclean. That was a trance. Many of you have had trances. Especially when you listen to a message and then you slept off. Sometime before you sleep off, or just when you are about to wake up from the sleep, you can have a trance. Or maybe you prayed in the night before you slept, and just before you slept, you can have a trance. Or just when you wake up, you can have a trance. Are you getting me? You know those times you just woke up. You have woken up, but your eyes have not opened. You know what is aware. You are aware of what's happening in the environment, but you've not gotten up from bed. You can even have a trance. Let me give you one powerful key. You know, I was talking about reprogramming your subconscious mind. For those of you who have been coming for school of ministry training, and I say your subconscious mind is so important. It's what controls your entire life. Research has shown that one of the solid way to reprogram your subconscious mind is usually the last thing you listen to before you go to bed. Pay attention, be very, very intentional about what you watch or listen to last before you sleep. Because that thing, those things will enter your heart and reprogram your subconscious mind for good or for bad. The mistake many of us make is that the last thing is movies or soap operas or Nigerian African magic or romantic movie or thriller. Some say worse, horror movie. You know, demons are now chasing you in the dream. Why wouldn't they chase you? Are you getting me? Let me give you wisdom. Listen to messages, sleep listening to it. Now, your body can sleep, but your spirit does not sleep. Songs of Solomon, he said, my eyes sleepeth, but my heart is awake. Your spirit does not sleep. Your spirit is listening to that message, absorbing things. That's why sometimes when you wake, you feel heavy. Have you been there? Hi-ya-ya-ya-ya. A lot of times, I sleep listening to messages or worship song. Because those things enter your heart, oh, they enter your heart. They affect your life and destiny. Don't sleep listening to the wrong things. You listen to romantic movie and slept off. You even slept off, the movie was still on. Now in your sleep, you now see one mommy water spirit. Naked came, do catwalk before you, advertising goods and services front and back everywhere. Before you know, you see yourself messing up. How did it happen? You watch what? Are you listening? Take heed. What you watch, what you see, if you love your destiny, you'll be very intentional about this thing. Praise God. I say praise God. Read Bible for where? Now novel, Hartley and Chase, romantic novel. Now you like to read. Eh? And now lesbian spirit they pursue you for dream. Hey, you must marry me. He said, ah, don't marry. How can I marry you? You're a woman like me. Hey. You see? No. Feed your spirit on the right stuff. Praise God. So there is vision of the night. You may have encounters, spectacular encounters in your dreams. That's dreams that are from God. Okay? Praise God. You can have spectacular visionary encounters. in those prophetic dreams. Give me Acts. Okay, let me finish my reading. 2 Corinthians 12, then we'll go to Acts 2. It says, when it comes to visions and revelations of the Lord, next verse. It says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. It says, such one that is caught up to the third heaven. Paul was talking about one of his spectacular visionary encounters in which he was caught up to the throne of God. That's the third heaven, where God's throne is. Am I communicating? Next verse. He said, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of body, I cannot tell. God know it. Next verse. He is describing one of his spectacular visionary encounters in which he was caught up to the throne room. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Can you see this? This is one of his encounters. He had volumes and volumes of spectacular encounters. Now, if you read the book of Revelation, you will see, my God, all manner of spectacular encounters Apostle John had. Jesus appeared to him at the island of Patmos. All manner of encounters, revealing to him what's going to happen at the end of the age, in the end times. Are you listening? I saw an angel appeared in the sun. All manner of things. Spectacular. How did God appear to Moses and then give him the assignment to go and bring out God's covenant people, the children of Israel, out of Egyptian bondage and captivity? God appeared to him in the burning bush. That was a spectacular encounter. He said, Moses, Moses, remove your shoe. From where you are standing is holy ground. That was a spectacular, and God spoke to him from that burning bush. Are you getting me? These are spectacular encounters. Jesus was praying, Luke 9 verse 28, and then the mountain of transfiguration. That's another spectacular encounter. Praise God. I say praise God. Help me. He says Luke 9 verse 28. It came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus, he took Peter, John, and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, look at verse 29. Somebody say, as he prayed. As he prayed, not before, the fashion of his countenance was altered. Mandaroska brakido sefelete. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. That's the thing, changed completely. And his raiment was white and glistering. This is a spectacular supernatural encounter. True of us. The glory of God, he started radiating from his spirit to his body. Even his clothes became white and dazzling. Next verse, what happened? And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. These were Old Testament saints that have gone to heaven. The spirit of just men made perfect appearing to him. This is another spectacular word, supernatural encounter. I've shared to you how I had an encounter, a visionary encounter in which I saw Catherine Kuhlman. That is a spectacular encounter. In fact, the vision of this ministry was given me through a spectacular encounter. The presence of God filled my room. I was praying early in the morning and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. It came through a spectacular supernatural encounter during prayer, in prayers. Are you listening? They are real. God is real. God is very real. Nobody can talk me out of it. Even if the whole world is upside down, nobody can shake my conviction. I know God is real. I have encountered him in his word through the Holy Spirit. I have encountered. I see, nobody can shake my conviction. God is not God because he answered your prayer. What has him answering your prayer has to do with his reality?
Whether he answers your prayer or not, he is still God. He is still my God. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Am I communicating? Nothing can shake my conviction. One reason why we have vacillating opinion and conviction about God is because we've not yet encountered him. Praise God. There appeared two men, Moses and Elias. Now, let me read this in the message. No, the Passion. I like the way the Passion Translation put it. That verse 29. This is the Passion Bible. As he prayed, his face began to glow until it was a blinding glory streaming from him. Can you hear that? Jesus' face began to glow just like Moses. You remember when Moses went to Mount Sinai, God said, come up to Mount Sinai. In Exodus, we'll look at it, 34. He said, come and collect the Ten Commandments. He was with God there for 40 days and 40 nights. Did it take 40 days and 40 nights for God to write 10 statements called Ten Commandments? No. He was enjoying fellowship with God. He was communing with the God of glory. He so communed that when Moses came down, his face was glowing, was shining. The skin of his face was shining with the glory of God. The children of Israel had to beg him that he should cover his face. Moses was not even aware. It was people that saw it, the children of Israel. Hey, Moses, see your face, they shine. See light, they come. I beg, cover your face, I beg. So he had to veil his face. It's when he's going to be with God, he will remove the veil. When he's coming to people, he will. We don't know for how long. Are you getting me? These are spectacular encounters. As he prayed, his face began to glow until it was a blinding glory streaming from him. His entire body, that's Jesus, was illuminated with a radiant glory. His brightness became so intense that it made his clothing blinding white. My God, like multiple flashes of lightning. Can you shout amen? And what were they discussing? The two spirit of just men made perfect, Moses and Elias. They were speaking of his assignment, his death, because he came to die. Jesus was the only man born to die for the sins of the world. They were talking about his destiny. You see that important destiny matters are handled on the altar of prayer. They were talking about his assignment. You see that spectacular encounter. Okay, give me 1 Kings. I'll give you another example. 1 Kings 3 verse 3. What about Solomon? Solomon loved the Lord. Oh, I like that. Solomon loved the Lord. But if you read the story, it was the Lord that started loving Solomon. But Solomon needed to reciprocate that love later. Solomon loved the Lord. You know, when Solomon was born, God sent prophet Nathan to even give him a nickname, Jedidah. You remember? Because the Bible says, and the Lord loved him right from birth. And even sent the prophet, give him a nickname. He gave him a nickname. But as Solomon grew, he needed to reciprocate that love. The Bible says, we love him because he first loved us. So, you must know. He said, we have known and believed the love God has for us. So, know, understand, and have faith in the Father's love for you. But don't stop there. Reciprocate that love by loving him back. You know, there are some set of preachers that say, hey, your love for God doesn't matter. What's more important is God's love for you. You need to have a revelation of God's love for you. You must know God's love for you. You must believe in God's love for you. Now, that's half-truth. Read your Bible well. We love him because he first loved us. That's half truth. Yes, have a revelation of God's love for you. Yes, believe in God's love for you. Have faith in it. But don't stop there. You have to reciprocate that love. Though you won't be able to love God to the same degree he loves you, but he expects you to show him some love. You see, if a man loves me, I and my Father will come and set up our headquarters with him. That's the key, one of the keys to divine encounters, your love for God. Am I communicating? So Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statute of David his father, only that he sacrificed in high place. Next verse. And look at what his love motivated him to do. Because he loved the Lord, he proved his love by his giving and sacrifice. So your love is fake without giving, without sacrifice. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, and there was a great high place, 1,000 burnt offering, record breaking, did Solomon offer upon that altar. Am I communicating? 1,000 burnt offering. And look at the response of God. Next verse. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. That same night, God showed up and God asked him. God gave him a blank check. Solomon, what do you want? Ask for anything. Can you see something there? That's a spectacular divine encounter in a dream. He had a night vision. God showed up. Solomon, what do you want? And then he said, give me wisdom. God was impressed again. Wisdom to govern this your large number of people. His father had taught him that wisdom is a principal thing. So he asked for wisdom. God said, I have given you wisdom. You will be the wisest man. I have also given you the one you did not ask, wealth. No man will be as rich as you. Are you getting this? He became the wisest and richest man. Now, listen. Solomon received an impartation of the spirit of wisdom following a spectacular divine encounter in a dream of the night. And he woke up the wisest man in his time. And give me verse 15. When he woke up, he realized that it was a dream. Watch this. Solomon awoke. Behold, it was a dream. Are you seeing this? And then he came to Jerusalem and then offered another sacrifice again. Many of us, we have had divine encounters, spectacular encounter in our dream, but we treated it casually. We didn't attach importance to it. We didn't place premium on it. Look at it. The wisest and wealthiest man under the old covenant received that impartation of wisdom in a prophetic dream. Look at it. There was an encounter I had in a meeting. In my dream, the power of God came upon me. Boom! I hit. How do I explain it? I hit the glass. Like 1, 2, 3, as if it's a movie. You know the way somebody they scatter glass. The power, boom, move me out of the venue. I busted the glass, first one, busted second one, busted third one, busted even something like a barbed wire or gate that is, you understand? Bam! I land that outside. I woke up from that dream. I was feeling the power from that encounter in the dream. I say, what is this? I started blasting in tongues. Ayaga barakata. There are impartations, graces, anointings. There was a time in my life, for straight 1 week, I was having encounters with mighty generals. Today, I will have encounter with Ora Robot. Tomorrow, Smidwigu's word. Another day, William Braham. Another one, E.W. Kenyon. Another one, this straight 1 week like this, one by one. Any great man you see walking in the anointing, I'm telling you, that man is a product of encounters. Diverse encounters. Men relevant to your destiny, they will start appearing to you. I'm telling you, people that carry what you need to fulfill destiny. Spectacular divine encounters in visions, in revelations. Are you getting this? And then you wake up with something. Something that was not there before. You have received it. Just like Solomon. He went to bed an ordinary man that day, with ordinary wisdom, functioning with common sense. He woke up with supernatural wisdom. Started operating with the highest level of wisdom, phronesis. Are you getting me? Never treat those spectacular divine encounters of the God kind. Never treat them lightly. It's very important. They shape our life. They shape our destiny. Malatoze brentos ketila gabarakatai. Are you listening? Are you still here? I've told you about Isaiah. Isaiah 6, 1 to 10. How Isaiah encountered God. He was caught up to the throne room. And you saw how it dramatically transformed his life and ministry. Praise God. Now, a few thoughts on spectacular divine encounters. Before then, give me Acts 2:17, Amplified. Acts 2:17. God said, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Acts 2:17. You see, the outpouring of the spirit results in so many supernatural encounters, both spectacular and non-spectacular. And listen, as the coming of Christ draws closer, we'll be having more and more volumes and frequency of spectacular encounters. I'm telling you the truth. Yes, both divine encounters and even demonic encounter, because Satan knows his time is short. Are you getting me? It came to pass, it shall come to pass in the last days, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels of God, and your young men shall see vision. Can you see the meaning of vision there? Divinely granted appearances. You don't need to be a prophet. Every believer, as long as you have the Holy Spirit, you can see visions. Are you listening? Man take a bosaba. Divinely granted appearances. Encounters in visions, encounters in revelation. You see, there is such a thing as divine visitation. The divine what? Visitation. There is such a thing. That's a day in which God decides to visit you. There is such a thing. It's very scriptural. Listen to me. Jesus wept over Jerusalem. He said, because you did not know the hour of your visitation. Are you listening? There is such a thing. On the conversely, on the other side, there is the evil day. I've taught you the meaning of the evil day. He said, put on the whole armor of God, Ephesians 6, that you may be able to stand against all the wiles of the enemy in the evil day. The evil day is that day in which Satan decides to visit you himself, not that he sent demons. That's the evil day. He visited Job. In one day, the world richest man was reduced to zero. He lost everything, lost his businesses, lost his wealth, lost his family, all his children died, lost his health. Satan plagued him with boil from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. That was the evil day for Job. But unfortunately, it made Job unprepared. That's why the Bible says, put on the whole armor. It's not that Satan is more powerful than you. He said, put on the whole armor so that you can stand against him. He said, resist the devil, he will flee. Are you getting this? Resist him steadfast in the faith. So just like we have the evil day, that day Satan decides to visit you and do his evil, that is if you allow him, because you can disallow him. Okay, he says he's seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody. Okay, are you listening? There is also the day of visitation of the Lord. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. That is usually under spectacular divine encounters. The day God decides to visit you, oh, and handle all your issues, your case is settled. It always comes with supernatural performance of his promises and prophecies. And do you know the good news? God told me that this Sunday, the last day of the fast, will be the day of our divine visitation. I'm telling you, this Sunday, God is coming big for us. I'm telling you the truth. I speak the truth. In Christ, I lie not. I'm telling you what I have heard. I've been to the mountain. God said he is coming big for us. is coming big in his glory, in his fullness. It's going to be a day of visitation for AGMI. If you know anybody that you love, drag them along for Sunday meeting. I'm anointing everybody. Your life will change, you. I'm telling you, your life cannot be the same. Not after Sunday encounter. Prepare yourself. Are you listening? Tomorrow I'll be teaching you how to prepare for encounters and the principles and protocols of divine encounters. I'll round up with that. Tomorrow will be the last day of this teaching series. Am I communicating? Ladiko bora palata. Because divine encounters don't just happen. There are certain preparation, there are protocols, there are principles that provoke them. So I say a few thoughts, right, on divine encounters. All spectacular divine encounters, I've said this before, it bears repetition, they must be in line with God's written word. Okay, they must be in harmony, in consonance with the written word of God. Now listen, if you ever have any divine spectacular encounter, maybe in visions, in revelation, God show you, you say God show you something, or an angel of the Lord, angelic encounter, you say Jesus appeared to you, or Moses or Elijah, or spirit of just men made perfect, any form of this, or you had a encounter in your dream, just make sure it lines up with scripture. Get scriptures for them. If you cannot prove them from Bible, just trash them into the trash can. Okay? And move on with your life. Are you listening? Because any true encounter of the God kind, spectacular encounter, it will always be in line with the word of God. It never contradicts God's word. Okay? Your spirit must also bear witness with them that they are from God. Your spirit, because you say, his spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's the Holy Spirit bears witness. Your spirit bears witness. It must jointly testify with the Holy Spirit that it is from God. Am I communicating? Your spirit must corroborate and bear witness with it. They must never be in contradiction to scriptures. One bishop of a church said God spoke to him. He had an encounter with God. God spoke to him that he should divorce his wife and then marry the choir mistress in his church. The elders came together. Thank God they knew the word of God. No, not that he should divorce his wife. That he should marry the choir mistress in addition to his wife. Wonderful. You know, the people can lie in the name of the Lord. But once you know the word of God, it will protect you from deception. The bishops came together. They say, the elders came together. They say, sir, from today, that means you are no longer fit to be our bishop. Because the Bible says a bishop must be husband of one. 1 Timothy. Then secondly, we don't believe that it was the Lord that told you. Because the Lord cannot contradict his word. See, listen, you can't come and tell me Holy Spirit told you A, and then we check Bible, it is B. Holy Spirit cannot tell you or show you things that are against or contrary to what he has written in his word. Are you getting me? I saw one crazy so-called prophet. Is he in Daboski, Bawushe, Liquid Meta, that was carrying people up? Bah! He said he's ministering to them. Somebody say he's sick. They will now carry show as if it's WrestleMania. I say wonderful. And they are, the thing that is even surprising me is that there are people in the church. What he calls church, there are people. Kai! Who has bewitched you? You know, now listen, some of these false prophets, they use jazz. They bewitch the people, they cast spell on them. So that even when people are telling them, leave that place, this man is false, they will still not leave. They are under a spell. They need deliverance. That's the truth. They need help. Somebody need to break that spell. You know, can just imagine me, I come for glory service. I just carry Pastor pen. Roller like this. The Holy Ghost. And even if the person was not sick, you become sick now. If you break one, you understand, your waist. I was watching one video. I say, Jesus, Kai, Lord, you will soon come home. We are really in the end time. A so-called prophetess was giving her breast to people to suck for deliverance. I'm telling you, I went for a training, and then the pastor, a general overseer, that he mentioned the story. I thought it was a lie. I had to go on the internet and check, and I saw the way I said Jesus, and they called it a church, and they have congregation. Where is that one in the Bible? That when thou suckest my breast, thou shalt be delivered. Haba mana. Haba jama. This is madness now. This is it is too glaring. You see, when you don't know God's word, you fall victim of deception. You can easily be cheated. A woman is looking for a child. Say, God help me, this barrenness must leave me. And then went to one crazy so-called prophet, and he said, your problem, this one is strong. He said, we are going to bath you to remove all the demons with special soap, and we are going to do it by riverside. When do you come to the river? Early morning, 4 a.m. Meet me. What did I say? 4 a.m. If you are 1 minute late, the spirits will not listen. And you will see the woman, foolishly, she won't even tell her husband. She will go early morning. Say, remove all your clothes. Yes, sir. I have to bath you. After bathing her, say, I'm taking you to a special room. You have to be with the gods. The spirits will come tonight, and they will sleep with you, and you will have twins. You must not open your eye, no matter what is happening. Even if you are feeling somebody touching you, don't open your eye. Ah, Naimo. Naim, they come. Naim, they come. No any god anywhere. Naim. Get Koboko, Pupepe. Don't be a fool. Is it that some people are? Prophets suddenly is everywhere. But do you know the good news? The fake is proof of the original. The presence of the fake is proof that there is original. I told you, Satan is not creative. He can only counterfeit anything God can do. Are you listening? I round up with this. How do you differentiate between divine encounters of the God kind and demonic encounters? Because listen, it's not only God that can give encounters. Demons too can give encounters. Give me 2 Corinthians 11 verse what? 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. How do you know the difference between the two? I round up with this. Our time is fast spent. He said, for such as false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. Can you see that? The Greek word there is metaschematizo, transforming. It's an outward change, but not inside. It's not like metamorphosis. Metamorphosis is from inside out, but metaschematizo is just like an outward change only, without an inward change. So they transform themselves, deceive people, into apostles of Christ. 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself, remember, Satan is a spirit, is transformed into an angel of light. Can you see? Some people have encountered Satan that transformed himself into an angel of God, masquerading as angel. He will even come with bright light around him. You will think he's angel of the Lord or Jesus. Satan. I will show you how to know that this one is not from God. Praise God. You see, Satan can transform himself. Remember, he's a fallen angel. And one of the powers fallen angels have is that ability to transform themselves. Whether into human form, into angel, or any form, they can transform. Remember in Genesis, in the days of Noah, the Bible says the sons of God, that's angels, those watchers, those fallen angels, they came to the daughters of men. Did you think they came with their wings as angels? No, they transformed into human being. They looked like humans. So they came and they started marrying the daughters of men and gave birth to giants. Are you seeing that? So angels have that power. God did not take away Satan's power. Remember, he didn't take away his anointing. So it got corrupted. The same thing, God didn't take away his wisdom. It got corrupted. The only thing God took away, Jesus, when he went to hell, was authority. Authority, which is higher than power. Are you getting me? Satan still has power, but it's limited power. The one that accrued to him as a fallen archangel, he still has wisdom, demonic wisdom. Are you listening? So, he says he can transform into angel of light. Next. Therefore, it is no great thing that if his ministers. So, Satan too has ministers. Wonderful. All these false apostles, false prophets, false teachers, they are all ministers of Satan. Also, be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So very fast, how do you differentiate or distinguish between demonic, that's between divine encounters that come from God, of the God kind, and demonic encounters? Number one, divine encounters of the God kind are always in line or in harmony with the written word of God. They are always in consonance, in agreement with the written word of God. There is scripture backing. You can prove it from Bible. But demonic encounters are contrary to the written word. They contradict scriptures. Are you listening? They contradict scriptures. The things they tell you, the things you see. Are you getting me? Number two. Your spirit will always agree. That's your recreated woman spirit. We always agree with a divine spectacular encounter that is from God. But your spirit will not be in agreement. In fact, in your spirit, there will be this negative signal. You will know that this thing is not from God. That's for demonic encounters. Your spirit is not always in agreement with demonic encounters. In fact, your spirit will react against it. Am I communicating? Your spirit will react against it. Praise God. Next, how do you differentiate between a divine encounter of the God kind and demonic encounter? By their fruits. By their fruits. Watch out for the fruits of those encounters. What are the fruits that they produce? Okay, for instance, somebody can claim that an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Or Jesus appeared to him in a vision and then told him things and all of that. Now, just watch for the fruit of that encounter in his life over time. Now, this person that claimed Jesus appeared to him, he stopped coming to church. He was serving maybe in this department, he stopped. He said, church is not of God. Now, watch this. He said he's pressing into God. He later, he stopped praying. He's no longer praying, he's no longer reading Bible. Watch this. Then before you know it, his spiritual life start dying. Before you know it, he start living in sin. Before you know it, he's almost losing his faith. That's to tell you that Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. If something is from God, it will carry the fruit of the Spirit. If that encounter is not from God, it will not be characterized with the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Watch out these things. By their fruits. What are the things that result? Does it result into the person loving God more, serving God more? Am I communicating? Or does it produce the wrong fruits in their lives? It's a telltale sign whether that encounter is truly from God or not. A woman says she encountered Jesus, or she encountered an angel, and the next thing, she stopped praying with her husband. She said, I want to pray alone. I want to be only in the room. Next, say, Kai, marriage is stopping me from fulfilling God's will for my life. Say, I want divorce. Wonderful. Is that encounter from God? What God have joined together, let no man put asunder. Let no encounter put asunder. So you can see that his so-called encounter, the fruit is contradictory to the Bible. Then before you know, divorce her husband. Yeah, I want to do my ministry alone. My husband is not deep enough. He doesn't understand portals and realms and dimensions. He doesn't understand the mystery of the eastern gates, the nexus of the northern storm. He doesn't know the celestial order, the starry constellation, the alignment of Orion and Arcturus and his sons. Doesn't know the mystery of the seven thunders. So therefore I divorce him. The person needs help. This is how some people have run mad. Say they had an encounter with God. It's not God though. A demon knocked their head. Are you getting me? By their fruit you shall know them. Watch out, all these false prophets and all of that, check their character. Don't be moved by the manifestations you are seeing. Watch out for the fruit of the Spirit they are producing. You will not see, you will not see godly fruits. These are the ones that impregnate ladies, sleep around with them, mess up. Almost anywhere they go, they leave behind pregnant women. They extort people, they have become tax master. In fact, people, even if you carry ATM to their meeting itself, you didn't carry money, they will bring POS. They have become tax master. No meeting is complete until they collect money from people. Prophetic manipulation, spirit of Balaam, spirit of Mammon, everything. The only gospel they know is gospel according to Mammon. Their God is their belly. You see that? Are you getting me? They use manipulation or manner of things. By their fruit, you shall know them. By their character, you shall know them. Because they are babalawos on suit these days. You need discernment. You need discernment. You have to be highly discerning. Are you listening? They are prophets suddenly, they are real. And they are even unjust. They are unjust. There are some of you that have attended their churches. But thank God, God brought you here. This is your deliverance. There are some of you, for the ones I know, this person, they go there. I used to call them privately and draw their ear. No, go there again. If you like your life and destiny. That one now what? Prophet Sodom. Give you wisdom. Rise to your feet. He said, by their fruit. Shagalabagadaya. So you judge those encounters based on the written word, based on the witness of the Holy Spirit and your spirit bearing witness
And then you judge based on their fruits. Anything that is from God will carry the fruit of the Spirit. It will show forth the character of God. But once you notice the works of Satan accompanying it, why is it that those people, anywhere they go, they leave behind all manner of wrong stuff? Something is wrong. Strife, division, manipulation, fornication, adultery. Is it they're sleeping with people's wife? Because women like anointing. So they use prophecy, turn their head, come and meet me in hotel room. So time. Before you know, they have slept with the person. By their fruit, you shall know them. Am I communicating? Lift up your hand. Say, Father, give me grace for discernment. I must never fall victim. I will not fall victim of demonic encounters. And the ministers of Satan, false prophets, false apostles, false teachers, ministers of Satan, I will not fall victim of demonic deception. Father, I receive grace for discernment. I receive grace for discernment. I receive grace for discernment. This is a very important prayer. I receive grace for discernment. I receive grace for discernment. I receive grace for discernment. Baleko vratila bura palata. I receive grace for discernment. Oh yes, not to fall victim of these demonic encounters, not to fall victim of ministers of Satan. I will not fall victim of false prophets, false teachers, false apostles. In the name of Jesus, the grace to discern aright. In the name of Jesus. Now listen. Another thing, especially we so-called word people, we have that tendency to belittle or deny or even outrightly reject spectacular divine encounters, even of the God kind, just because of the fear of errors and excesses. No, it shouldn't be like that. I've told you, the fake is proof that there is original. Some of these world people in good, they are not open to the things of the Spirit. They are not open to divine encounters. They don't want to hear anything like that. Why? What's their reason? Because of fear of what? Errors and what? Excesses. But we don't need to be like that. Read your Bible very well. There are so many divine, spectacular encounters of the God kind. And they came from the Holy Spirit. The fact that there is fake does not mean we should stop believing in the original. Have you stopped using 100 naira note or 1000 naira note just because they are fakes in circulation? No! Rather, we dominate the fake with manifestation of the real one. Are you getting me? So just because of the counterfeit demonic encounters here and there does not mean we should stop believing God and pressing for the genuine one. Are you getting me? Because God does give them, and I tell you, as the coming of Christ draws near, we will have more and more spectacular divine encounter. Because the closer you are, okay, if they are cooking very delicious, palatable food in the kitchen and you are perceiving it from downstairs, don't you see that the closer you are to the kitchen, the more you perceive the smell? Once you are at the door, the smell is highest. So as we, and the Bible says Christ is at the door, he says, I stand at the door and knock. As we come closer, so there will be multiplied volumes of encounters from the outpouring of the Spirit. All we need is discernment. We should not reject it. We should not belittle it. Is that not how religion has made some churches to stop speaking in tongues? They have rejected it. In fact, it's even against their doctrine. That is how it started. Say with me, Father, I'm open to genuine divine encounters of the God kind. I receive grace I am open. I receive grace to experience and to enjoy spectacular divine encounters. From the Holy Spirit, lift up your voice and fire prayer. Alebokoso brekete ke barakato so brande gebusa embalaga brakatai. We will not stop experiencing and believing in the original just because they are fixed. Letizo pronte ke barakabagido brokotos. Alebokoso brakatai. Eleke brekete ke brekete ke brakatai. In the name of Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, do you know the coming of the Holy Ghost, which led to the inauguration of the church of Jesus Christ, was following a spectacular move of God? Are you aware? That was a spectacular divine encounter. They were gathered together in one place. Then suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. The presence filled everywhere. And cloven tongues, divided, parted fire engulfed them. Am I come? That's a spectacular divine encounter. That was how the church started. Kalido Borakata, pray this prayer one more time. Father, I am open. And I receive grace to spectacular divine encounters in this end time, in line with your word, based on your word. Zebila pose bendika palatia, lagido prokotos, Holy Ghost encounters, Holy Ghost visitation, angelic encounters, visionary encounters, encounters in dreams, in visions, in trances. Based on the word of God, Mando Urasipa Makida, Rekete Kete Kete Kete, Rando Briska Patataya. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. I decree and declare, you will not be a victim of demonic deception. You will not be victim of false prophets, teachers, and apostles. Ministers of Satan will not deceive you successfully. In the name of Jesus, receive grace for discernment. Receive grace to distinguish between divine and demonic encounters. In the name of Jesus, no devil will deceive you. You will not be victim of seducing spirits. In the name of Jesus, and I release upon you grace for spectacular divine encounters, in visions, in revelations, in dreams, in trances, Holy Ghost encounters. I prophesy supernatural divine visitation. In the name of Jesus, go from strength to strength, go from glory to glory. Let the hand of the Lord rest upon you. In the name of Jesus, enjoy the uncommon wisdom, supernatural impartations, following divine encounters, encounters that will release the spirit of wisdom, that will impart upon you unusual grace, unusual power, higher levels of authority. In the name of Jesus, it is done with speed in Jesus' name.
Believe you're blessed by this message. Our goal is to raise a glory generation that will walk in kingdom dominion and manifest the word of God as a lifestyle. To download more messages by Dr. Lucas Salon King or to partner with us, please visit www.avalancheofglory.org. Subscribe to our YouTube and Telegram channel. Also follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the Avalanche of Glory Ministries International. Call 080-6530-2610 or 070-3699-1158 for more information. We love and celebrate you.